Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know the truth? The truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, crazy world. So welcome to the 545th edition of SDG. Folks, this is Endgame Update number 9. And then later in this message, we're going to tie it all into three biblical truths straight from the story of Jacob. The first one is that God will protect us, but he won't pamper us. The second is that although he may hurt us, he won't harm us. And finally, God may break us, but he actually wants to bless us. Yes, in these crazy times, we can learn from Jacob. Folks, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21, that by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon his staff. Now, Jacob was crippled for a reason, and it was so that he may be crowned, and he was broken so that he may be blessed. So he wasn't leaning on his staff just because he was old. And I hope you stay tuned to learn how we can be protected and blessed by God, just like Jacob, and hopefully without being crippled. But the bottom line, folks, is as always, as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. We're just God's people passing through. So let's all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity, and stay tuned to find out the latest news that the lie in mainstream media will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's 9/11 events, which are now unfolding while on steroids. But remember, folks, it all started with this lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as always, folks, let's get started by looking at something from a past episode. Now, here on SDG, we've been covering many of the news stories as they break, even if the mainstream lying media isn't doing it, folks. And we covered the Canadian trucker convoy, this peaceful protest that ended with Trudeau's tyrannical actions against the peaceful Canadians. And during our coverage, we exposed Justin Trudeau, the mini Castro, for who he truly is. Now, he's a good-looking, well-spoken pawn of the globalists, a graduate of the World Economic Forum's Young Global Leader School. You remember Klaus Schwab admitting that? Do you remember him talking about that in that one interview he did? Let's see if I can find it. Here it is. It's a minute-long clip. And listen to what good old Klaus, the diabolic, unelected official, the Nazi himself, who's moving for the Fourth Reich.
When I mention our names, like Mrs. Merkel, even Vladimir Putin and so on, they all have been young global leaders of the World Economic Forum. Mm-hmm. But what we are very proud of now, the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina and so on, that we penetrate the cabinets. So yesterday I was at a reception for Prime Trudeau, and I know that half of this cabinet, or even more, half of this cabinet, are actually young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
And that's true in Argentina. Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's true in Argentina as well.
It's true in Argentina, and it's true in France now. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the president, with the young global leader, but what is important?
So that's enough of the lying Klaus Schwab. You know, we even exposed Trudeau's communistic and dictatorial leanings well before a lot of this was covered by the mainstream media. And here's a clip while he was campaigning for Prime Minister of Canada, where he admits he likes the Chinese dictatorial regime type of government because you can get a lot of things done. Listen, Trudeau, admit it in his own words.
Even with Sun TV watching for any slip, he was asked which country he most admired and referred to China.
The level of admiration I actually have for China, because their basic dictatorship is allowing them to actually turn their economy around on a dime and say, we need to go green as fast as we need to start, investing in solar. I mean, there is a flexibility that I know Stephen Harper must dream about of having a dictatorship that he could do everything he wanted that I find quite interesting.
Folks, we aren't the only ones that see this. We aren't the only ones speaking out on it. Many of the others in the alt media are doing it. And we even have some of the prime ministers of the European Parliament calling Trudeau a dictator. This particular parliamentary member from Croatia, he spoke in an epic scene, and this bashing by this Croatian prime minister was well deserved by Canada's mini Castro. He was named Mislav Kulasev. And he delivered this humiliating speech directly to Justin Trudeau, who was there visiting the European Parliament, in guise of, helping Ukraine, okay? What about all the people in Ethiopia? You know, there's been a order of magnitude more deaths in this war in Ethiopia, yet do you hear anything about it on television? So if this was all about humanitarian aid and care for the oppressed, don't you think we'd know a little bit about what's going on in Ethiopia? Yet we don't hear anything. That's because it's not politically, geopolitically important right now. But anyways, European Parliament member Mislav Kolakrisk delivered this humiliating speech. Now, he once lived under Soviet rule in Croatia, and he witnessed what tyranny was, and he saw parallels to what Trudeau was doing during this peaceful protest by the truckers. It was very familiar to him, reminding him of the former Soviet dictators. So he took this opportunity during Trudeau's visit to the EU Parliament to basically rip Trudeau a new one. Now, it even gets better. He wasn't the only one. There was another one. A member named Christine Anderson, who actually spoke in English and gave him a slap down. So what I'd like you to do now is listen to this one-minute clip of the Parliament member from Europe basically calling Justin Trudeau out for his illegal, tyrannical efforts to control people in Canada.
Based on Article 195, doubt that it would have been more appropriate for Mr. Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, to address this House according to Article 144, an article which was specifically designed to debate violations of human rights, democracy, and the rule of law, which is clearly the case with Mr. Trudeau. Then again, a Prime Minister who openly admires the Chinese basic dictatorship, who tramples on fundamental rights by persecuting and criminalizing his own citizens as terrorists just because they dared to stand up to his perverted concept of democracy, should not be allowed to speak in this House at all. Mr. Trudeau, you are a disgrace for any democracy. Please spare us your presence. Thank you.
And that is the truth, folks. Now let's listen to how mainstream media covered this incredible story that was going on a week or so ago in the EU Parliament. That's right, folks. It wasn't covered. Why? Because it didn't fit their narrative. Folks, the news isn't intended to inform. No, that's not the purpose of the news. In fact, that's what it used to do, but it doesn't do that anymore. The alt media is the only source where you're going to find this sort of information. You're not going to find it on the mainstream media unless they can't suppress it anymore, like you see going on right now with the entire Hunter Biden laptop. Wasn't the Washington Post and CNN came out and basically confirmed everything that the alt media has been saying for a year or more now concerning the infamous laptop that the FBI cannot find but happens to be in their possession. I believe it's up in New York in one of their data server centers. So anyways, folks, the purpose of the news isn't to inform, but rather to manipulate. The CIA is involved with this to shape public opinion. And they essentially continued what the Tavistock Institute in England created back during World War II to shift public opinion in a week, maybe 2 weeks. And they were building upon what Edward Bernays did with propaganda back in the 20s. You know, Bernays was an expert. He was the nephew of Sigmund Freud, and he essentially could turn public opinion in a week or two and get people to buy anything. He made smoking cigarettes for women fashionable by changing the color of the packaging. And that's how news is actually used today, to manipulate the masses. But we have to keep moving. It's time for Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as we do every week, folks, but we're running out of information because the narrative has shifted from the coronavirus heist to all these other things, from wars and rumors of wars to food shortages and money crises. But anyways, let's get started with our coronavirus heist.
It's a scam, damn it. They call it the great equal life. And say we're all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist and just say they know all their lies and mind control.
Folks, I am so excited to announce that finally, after 2 years of the alt media preaching and teaching the truth concerning this scamdemic, the truth is finally coming out. The truth about the toxicity of the jabs, the truth about the ineffectiveness of the testing, the truth about the inflated numbers, the truth about all these different things. The truth about the gain-of-function lab research funded by Fauci and his minion in the NIH. 2 years after we've been issuing these warnings. Remember, it was 2 years ago, folks, that I did the rap song, The Coronavirus Heist, that went viral by Sherry Tenpenny before my Twitter account got throttled back to virtually zero. Folks, Fauci's dishonesty and his co-conspirators have been revealed by none other than Chris Martinson. Now, he breaks down a very short window of time between January 31st of 2020 and February 2nd of 2020, where Fauci met with some of the key representatives of the Wellcome Trust, the World Health Organization, the NIH, and senior private virologists, and tried to create the narrative that this was a naturally occurring virus, when all the evidence and all the fact, both administratively with the funding and scientifically with the actual structure of these bioagents, all pointed towards a lab origin. Well, who is this Chris Martinson? He's an economic researcher, a writer, and a trend forecaster with expertise in macro trends. So those are the big picture ideas concerning the economy, energy, and the environment. And back in 2008, I'd say that was probably his claim to fame, Chris published a series titled The Crash Course on YouTube, 19 short videos that identified the problems of non-sustainability with our fiat-driven economy, the control of energy, and the whole environment game that they play. Anyways, he's also the co-founder of peakprosperity.com. Now, here's where it gets interesting. This guy has a PhD in pathology, so he has some technical biomedical type understanding of what's going on. That means the guy's smart. He got his PhD in pathology from Duke University back in 1994 and an MBA from Cornell in 1998. Bottom line, this guy's super smart. And then he followed up with a postdoc program at Duke where he specialized in neurotoxicology. So I think he has some credentials here to speak. Now, Chris said that the Rod Fauci and his co-conspirators were caught through this FOIA email release. I think that was done by, who did that? ICANN. That was ICANN that forced that to be released. But he went through it with a fine-tooth comb and identified the gain-of-function experiments for the SARS-CoV pathogen. And I'm not really into this whole germ theory, but I do believe there are bioweapons that can be aerosolized and even transmitted between people through shedding. And I'm telling you, folks, we have been attacked by the very people that have been empowered to protect our life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And that's what makes it so sad. So this lab leak origin theory was quenched from the very beginning. It was gaining steam in the public eye back in 2020. You remember the Chinese whistleblower that was on Tucker Carlson? We've played her a few times here. She's warned about a possible release of a hemorrhagic virus that's also been developed through gain-of-function research that could devastate the population. It has a 30% death rate. So anyways, this had to be shut down, and it was shut down, okay? And this whole natural origin narrative was what they started to play. But the truth about the natural origin narrative is that it's a lie. And I think it's pretty clear when we listen to this clip from Chris Martinson. It's a smoking gun, so to speak. It's a 3-minute and 41-second clip, and I would like to play that for you and just listen to Chris as he goes through these emails. And it's out of one of his podcasts, and you can email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com if you'd like to listen to the entire clip. I can send you a link to it. But here's Chris Martinson pointing out the evidence that this gain-of-function research is real.
Fauci lied and people died. I'm Dr. Chris Martinson. Today we're going into Fauci's emails. We're going to be looking at a very specific date where I think we see strong evidence of a lab leak cover-up. Let's go take a look. All right, welcome everybody. It's June 4th, 2021. We're going to look at the emails here. Remember, you show me the incentive, I will show you the outcome. I believe there were strong incentives to cover up a lab leak by a number of players. And it starts here on January 31st through February 1st. Those are the 2 days in question, January 31st. This is 2020. Remember, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Washington Post are all denigrating the coronavirus as the flu. It's just the flu, bro. Remember all of that? Well, it wasn't the flu, and of course, it was huge concern inside the appropriate bodies, as you would expect. Of course, Anthony Fauci, deeply concerned. But it begins here with an email from a Christian G. Anderson here, sent Friday, January 31st at 10:32 p.m. So this is Friday evening. And it's, hi, Tony, so they're on a first-name basis here, of course. I don't know how Christian knows Tony that well, but I'm sure there's a story there. And he's responding to something that Tony had sent him, saying, he says, thanks for sharing. Yeah, I saw this earlier today. Both Eddie and myself, I'll tell you who Eddie is in just a minute, are actually quoted, and it's a great article. So they're looking at this article that was written about the putative origin of where did this virus come from. The highlighted yellow parts are what I want to draw your attention to. You've probably already seen this elsewhere if you've been following the email story, but Christian wrote, the unusual features of the virus, that's the coronavirus SARS-CoV-2, make up a really small part of the genome, just less than 0.1%. So one has to look really closely at all the sequences to see that some of the features potentially look engineered. Continuing, he says, Eddie, Bob, Mike, and myself all find the genome inconsistent with expectations from evolutionary theory. So this is early on saying, hey, some stuff looks really weird. That less than 0.1%, I know which that refers to. That's that PRRA, polybasic furin, inserted cleavage site in there. That's the thing that makes this thing really sing as a virus and enables it to really attack the cells. So even though they say, oh, it's just less than 0.1%, that's irrelevant. All you would need is just those 12 nucleotides or those four amino acids to be inserted in, and you've got an engineered virus at that point. So that's what's being said Friday night, 10:32. So let's carry on with this story just a little further. By the way, this is Christian Anderson right here, very prolific on Twitter, and we'll show you some more of his writings there on Twitter in just a bit. But here's the smoking gun. This comes from Fauci himself Saturday. Look at the time there, 12:29. That's in the morning, so this is I consider this 12:29 at night, if you will, on Friday night. So 10:32, he gets that email from Christian Anderson. Next thing you know, he's going to a Hugh Auchincloss there, Auchincloss, I guess. Hugh, it is essential that we speak this morning. Keep your cell phone on. He continues, read this paper as well as the email that I will forward to you now. You will have tasks today that must be done. The paper, Barrick, Shi et al., Nature Medicine, SARS, Gain of Function PDF.
So there you have it, folks, and it goes on. Chris just lays the evidence out there. He has a very strong case that Dr. Fauci, the lying fraud Fauci, was actually perjuring himself under oath while testifying to Congress. Do you remember that, folks? Here's a little clip that we've played several times where Rand Paul catches Fauci committing perjury to the Senate over the hearings concerning gain-of-function research.
Senator, you introduced an amendment that would ban the funding of gain-of-function research in China. You've also had that vibrant exchange with Dr. Fauci about this a couple of weeks ago, where he told you that NIH does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So did Dr. Fauci, do you believe he perjured himself in front of Congress on this issue? If so, why?
Absolutely. He lied to the American people. There was gain-of-function research going on with this Dr. Shi Zengali at the Wuhan Institute. In her paper, she actually thanks Dr. Fauci and the NIAID, which is a part of NIH that Dr. Fauci runs. It's listed at the end of the paper. This paper was funded by NIAID research, and it lists a 10-digit number that identifies the research money that she got from the United States. Was it gain of function? Well, it took a SARS virus, which is a coronavirus that's 15 times more deadly than COVID, and it added to it S protein, which is something on the surface of it, to make it more easily infectious to human epithelial cells for the respiratory tract. That to me is gain of function. We have at least one scientist from Rutgers and another scientist from MIT who've looked at this paper and say it is gain of function. And she says she did it with an NIH fund. Dr. Fauci says no. I think he needs to be quizzed. But he goes on these shows and they all yuck it up and laugh and laugh about how everybody's a conspiracy theory. But nobody asks him any tough questions because the left is so enthralled with all his dictates and he's become sort of this glorious purveyor of truth for the left, right, that nobody asked him any tough questions.
So there you have Rand Paul's comments concerning the perjury committed by Fauci. Now, not only did he lie to Senator Rand Paul, he lied to Senator John Kennedy concerning gain of function. And then in another portion of a hearing, I believe it was another hearing, he refused to answer a question from a third senator concerning gain of function. Then he goes on to define gain of function in another portion of the hearing. And here's where it gets very ironic. His own NIH comes out and admits there was gain of function research. Yet, folks, nothing is being done to this lying man who is essentially responsible for the death of millions of people. This is corruption, folks, and power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. But, folks, we have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform, the 2020 elections. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. Kabuki means salt. Boo means dance. He means skill from the verb. Kabuki means to slant or display. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the flatten the curve. The curve of the economy, stupid. Must slow down the velocity of money. Or it'll hyperinflate before it would have done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up is down. Light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030 and the new world war. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
So have you heard of this neocon named Dan Crenshaw? You know, the one-eyed patriot, quote-unquote, the pseudo-patriot from Texas, who's now a representative for the great state of Texas? Well, he's been slammed by a new ad for trying to dispute the reality that the U.S. is funding biolabs and supporting Nazis in the Ukraine. And, folks, this is all fact. We've covered this ad nauseum over the last month or so. So who is Dan Crenshaw? Well, he's a neocon rhino trader, a Texas Republican, or Republican in name only, hence rhino, who's a war vet, you know, the eye patch guy that Pete Davidson from Saturday Night Live mocked, and then there was that big scandal. That Dan Crenshaw, he's gaining a reputation, folks, as a subversive globalist. So keep your eye out on this man. He's just like the now dead and rotting traitor to America, John McCain. And boy, don't even get me started on John McCain. So Crenshaw's the 2,000-pound rhino in the middle of the Republican circles in Washington, a traitor to America. Okay, in fact, the conservative consulting firm X Strategies, and what they do is they target rhino quislings for political destruction. And I'll tell you, Crenshaw deserves it. They created this ad out of some interviews that Crenshaw was doing concerning these falsehoods over the Nazi narrative and the biolab narrative. Both are documented facts, folks. And here's that ad where I read the screenshots or the screen captions between the narrative in the ad. So take a listen to this, where they expose in about a minute Dan Crenshaw's lying ways. So, how much do you think the deep state's paying good old Dan to lie? Dan Crenshaw said there were no neo-Nazis in the Ukraine.
When you call Ukrainian president a thug, that's repeating Russian talking points. When you claim that the money is going to neo-Nazis and only neo-Nazis, that's repeating Russian talking
points. I've never heard that.
From The Independent, the article, Who Are Ukraine's Neo-Nazi Azov Battalion? Good old Dan was wrong. Dan Crenshaw said the biolabs were a conspiracy theory.
And then what do the Russians do? They take this biolab conspiracy and they run with it. If you actually analyze social media, that wasn't a story for Russians until people here domestically started making that a conspiracy. All right, that's a problem.
Hunter Biden helped secure funds for U.S. biolab contractor in the Ukraine. Again, Dan was wrong. This dangerous clown needs to sit down and shut up. So this Nazi supporter, Dan Crenshaw, pushing this Ukrainian narrative, Ukraine good, Russia bad, it's not that simple, folks. Now, I'm not endorsing anything that Putin's doing, but I'm telling you I understand why he's doing what he's doing. And there's probably better ways to accomplish it, but this is how he's chosen to do it. So you got Crenshaw out there fighting against the truth movement on some very important matters. He's been pushing back against the narrative that the U.S. is supporting neo-Nazis in Ukraine. And folks, we've been over that, like I said, time and time again. Now, it's a fact that the neo-Nazi Azov Battalion is part of the Ukrainian National Guard, and it's fighting against Russia. But it gets even worse than that. There are EU and U.S. and UK advisors, military advisors, trapped in, where is it, Mariupol right now? Surrounded by Russians. So where is the line between advising and actually fighting? Where is the line drawn between this thing becoming bigger than a military conflict between Ukraine and Russia and it becoming a military conflict between Russia and the Western powers? Crenshaw out there lying about all this. In fact, did you know that the Anti-Defamation League has actually come out and defended the neo-Nazis in Ukraine? Yeah, they've that's the absurdity of this war. You have the Anti-Defamation League admitting that there are neo-Nazis in Ukraine, but they're really not that bad.
What?
That's right, Paul. You just cannot make this stuff up. And as you just heard in that last clip, Crenshaw is also trying to fight against the truthers in America who point to the facts about the U.S.-funded biolabs. You know, the National File reported from archived U.S. State Department records showing that the U.S. government, including the Pentagon, has been funding these biolabs in Ukraine, among other countries all around the world, and China's come out with this, and we've played that. And it's very clear now that this de facto regime that's in power in Washington through an election steal in 2020 that no one wants to talk about anymore, that Sleepy Joe is overseeing a cover-up to protect the interests of all these schemers in Western power. Folks, they use Ukraine to launder their money. All the facts are hidden in the documents contained in the Ukrainian records. Now, think about all this. Think about the fact that Dr. Anthony Fauci, the fraud himself, was involved with U.S. government-funded bat coronavirus projects in China at the Wuhan Institute. But not only there, 31 other countries around the world with hundreds of laboratories, and what were there, like 30 in Ukraine itself? You know, the Russians claimed that the Pentagon had transported both bats and insects, including fleas, out of a biolab in Ukraine. So just what were these demonic globalists up to? Well, folks, this dude, Crenshaw, has taken a page right out of the Tavistock Institute's book on how to shift public opinion in a week or two. Remember, this is also known as mass formation psychosis. And speaking of mass formation psychosis, did you ever hear of TikTok? Well, most adults have heard of it. They think it's just an app, a harmless distraction for their children on their smartphones. But many don't even realize what's going on with TikTok and how much time their children are spending on it. And it's one of the most dangerous apps ever made. Folks, it isn't safe, and it isn't harmless. This thing is danger itself. And what we need to do, folks, what we need to do is to sound the alarm. We have to sound the alarm. So what I'd like to do is spend a little time with an article written by Dr. Leonard Sachs. He's an MD, PhD, who gives a solid overview of exactly what TikTok is and what it's really doing and how it's doing it. Now, you can read the article, his grave warning, at ifstudies.org. And it's titled, Is TikTok Dangerous for Teens? So parents, you need to keep your children, especially your young children, off of TikTok, period. You know, it's the most visited website in the entire world. It gets more daily visits than Google. It gets more watches daily than YouTube. And there's more social peer-to-peer interaction on TikTok than Facebook. Now, once you throw in the fact that it's this popular app that's so simple to use, you got to wonder why very few adults are paying much attention to it. You know, folks, parents, you need to pay attention and understand that this is the ultimate grooming tool that brings children, teens, and even young adults into the perverse worldview that's being promoted by these globalists. You know, headlines popped up earlier this month that the Biden regime was using TikTok influencers to spread propaganda concerning the Ukrainian narrative. And a vast majority of the conservative news outlets used this simply as a punchline. They didn't really get into it. They didn't really describe how this is being done. Even on the left, some took jabs at it, but that was about it. They paid lip service to it. In fact, Saturday Night Live even did a skit on this, mocking the White House. So what they did is they laugh at it. And any time you have a true danger if the enemy wants you to ignore the magnitude of the danger, they'll make you laugh at it. But, you know, there's a lot of older, very politically aware Americans out there that might just think this is a desperate ploy by a failing administration, a comical sign of the times. No, I'm telling you, folks, it's actually much more diabolical than that. The Biden regime is making a brilliant move here. Their actions were lacking, of course, but it's obvious that TikTok works, and they're using it to actually shape the minds of the young Americans. So if you're concerned about the curriculum in public schools, then you need to make sure you're not a TikTok ignoramus, okay? Because it's exponentially more dangerous to the young minds than any textbooks they encounter in the government schools. You know, what a teacher tells them is one thing, but when another teen, a social influencer, very familiar to them, you know, out of the same class structure, so to speak, tells them something, it's much more damaging because it's peer-to-peer instead of a teacher-to-peer. Spreading like a plague, folks. Kids watch TikTok videos and often have experiences that kind of coincide with what they're thinking. And this is all done through AI-driven algorithms. They can get to know the viewer in literally hours, sometimes even in minutes, just by what they view on TikTok. So it's machine learning on steroids, and it literally guides the user to watch more videos to reinforce what's on their mind already. So it brings them to a false understanding about truth. And they learn to trust TikTok as a genuine authority in their lives. Now later, when they get a lot of viewers, they become what's known as TikTok influencers, and their videos start infecting others as well. Now, all this indoctrination is simply brainwashing, you know, mass formation psychosis, and it has a very specific purpose for the globalists. And what is that purpose? Well, that purpose is to soften the target. And who's the target? We the people. It's the long game, so to speak, okay? It's getting into the minds of the masses and prepping them, soften them up for the great reset where you'll own nothing and be happy. And your ability to buy and sell will be linked to your social credit score. And if you speak out, you'll be punished by having some of your credits on your card or your chip in your arm or forehead taken away from you. Now, the key component to the Great Reset is this thing that this next woman that I'd like to talk about has spoken out loud, the unspoken, spoken out loud. And this was a bombshell. It was at the World Government Summit that just occurred last week. Dr. Pippa Malgram, who's a top American economist and advisor to former George W. Bush and his administration, she made a statement that confirms everything that myself and many others in alt media have been saying for years. And it all revolves around what's known as a digital cashless society. And folks, I'm telling you, it's literally right around the corner. You can't make this stuff up. You really can't. So what I'd like to do is start by playing a warning that we had on the show here a week ago from Catherine Austin Fitz, if I can call that up. Here it is. And she's talking about the United States digital currency in the reset, which actually boils down to digital control. So before we play what Pippin spoke out loud last week at the World Government Summit, I want to remind you that there have been people out there warning about this for years. Not only Catherine Fitz, we've played others. There was one from an iconic video, a woman, an economist from Ireland, that warned the same thing. I cannot find that clip. I wanted to play it for you folks. But anyways, let's listen to Catherine Austin Fitz talking about the Great Reset and how it's going to be digital control. It's a long clip, folks, almost 8 minutes, but it's well worth it.
I'm Greg Hunter. Welcome to USAWatchdog.com. My next guest is a regular and a national treasure. She has the Solari Report, the publisher of the Solari Report and Solari.com. I want to get her her views on the election, the chaos, the contested election. You had Donald Trump winning by a record amount of votes, 13 million more than he got in the 2016 election, and yet a guy campaigning out of his basement supposedly won. Catherine Austin Fitz, thank you for joining us today on USAWatchdog.com.
Thank you, Greg, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Boy, if I didn't have faith, I tell you, I'd be hanging onto a black hole of nothingness.
Exactly. Exactly. But if you have faith, you know there's always a way. There's a way. There's a pathway.
What's going on with your view? You're over in, Amsterdam or in Holland, somewhere over that area.
I'm in the Netherlands.
Netherlands, yeah. Okay. What's your view of what's going on with the contested election? I mean, lawsuits are flying. It looks like Sidney Powell did get a case on the docket at the Supreme Court after they rejected the other case from Texas, which a lot of people found was, you know, outrageous. But what do you think's going on right now here in the United States? Why is this so contested? And an obvious winner is being denied the presidency.
So the elections in the United States for a long time have had serious election fraud, both voting fraud and covert operations. So this is, in one sense, this is standard operating procedure, but it's worse than ever. Because if you look at many of the lockdown restrictions on COVID-19, they were clearly designed to wipe out the businesses of millions of Trump supporters. You know, and that was, so I would describe that as covert operations coming into the election, and really a war on populism, because the goal of the leadership is not just to put Biden in, but to really sit down and clamp down on anybody with independent revenues or independent stature who's supporting sort of real populist policy. So we're in the middle of a war on populism. But then the voting fraud, it looked to me from the beginning that the mail-in ballot system was designed to engineer a fraud. And it was interesting because the attorney general said that well before the election. He said this system can't possibly work. So we knew it was going to be a problem. It appears, this was Patrick Byrne's description, and I think it's probably accurate, that you had six large Democratic-controlled counties and six of the swing states. Trump was clearly winning those states. And then suddenly, you know, we saw a poll shut down or something happen, and all of a sudden, ballots plowed in. And it,
wow. And this is all about really control. I mean, this
control.
Is
control. Well, it's not, these are not currencies. Central bank digital crypto is not a currency. Crypto is not a currency. It's a crypt. It's the only way I can say it. It's the end of currencies. It's the death of currencies. Currency is something that's liquid. Currency is something, you know, I can put it in my pocket and walk away. This is a digital control system. This is a credit at the company store. You will be given a credit at the company store, and if you do what you're told, you can buy things at the company store. But you can't start your own store, and you can't build your own store. I mean, that's what we're watching. Right now in the U.S. economy, we're watching, this is how it works. The insiders of businesses are deemed essential and can stay open. And they can do a series of things to shut down all the independent people's businesses and herd all those cash flows into theirs. So you can't go to church and you can't sing, but you can stream Netflix. So you can shop. You can go to Costco. You can go to Walmart. You can, you know, so if KKR, Carlyle, BlackRock, you know, J.P. Morgan Chase and Citibank and the New York Fed member banks can make money from it, it's essential and you can do it. They can borrow from the Fed at 0%. Our credit cards cost 16 to 17%. This is how this works. This has nothing to do with an economy. You know, inequality is rigged through the Treasury and central bank credit mechanism.
Magazine, they got to do it at the end of the show. So you can get them both. But this whole reset is about destroying God. And destroying religion and Jesus and Christmas and shut down Christmas and shut down churches. And you can go to Walmart and it'd be packed, but you can't go to church and sing. Oh, tell me about that. Why are they doing that?
You hold up the dollar, what does it say? It says, in God we trust. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so a liquid currency with the breadth of the dollar depends on faith. Faith in the law. And faith in a divine intelligence, you know, that there's something bigger. remember the, you know, what do our founding documents say? They say our freedom comes to us by divine authority, right?
Yes.
Right. So to destroy that system, you have to destroy those things. And if you look at the COVID-19 lockdowns, the number one target has been the churches. They are trying to bankrupt and destroy the churches. They tried to buy them first. So we've seen tremendous amounts of federal government money rolling out to refinance churches, build bigger churches, you know, grants for churches. It's incredible how they tried to, you know, I used to be on a budget committee on one of my churches, and I ended up in a huge war because literally the Department of Justice was trying to buy up all the churches. I said, you know, why would you take money and enter into a very restrictive legal contract with the same entity that's pouring drugs into this neighborhood? Why would you do that? Seems like legal suicide to me. Anyway, but it is clear that there is a war on the churches and what sells.
This is really a war on God, isn't it? God's creation.
Well, it's a war. So there are two visions. One vision is that we are a sovereign individual under divine intelligence, and our freedom comes to us by divine intelligence. That's one vision. And I would describe that as a human civilization. The other vision is we are hyper-materialist. Everything is physical. There is, there's a limited electromagnetic reality. And we are a natural resource to be harvested like livestock. And you can change men into women and women into men, you know, and add a whole bunch of digital components and make a super soldier, and it's all very fluid.
That sounds like a war between good and evil. It's like a war on God. Whatever God made, not good enough.
So the question is, are we going to be hyper-materialist governed by a demonic spirit, or are we going to be sovereign individuals governed by a divine intelligence? Those are the two visions.
Wow.
So there you have it, folks. I think Catherine did a very good big picture view. You can't just narrow this down to digital currency. You have to understand that elections have consequences, and stolen elections have very bad consequences. So what began under the Trump administration, and I don't believe Trump's the golden boy, and we'll get into that more later, but you saw the systematic destruction of many small businesses, populists, you know, like Mike Lindell, who's basically been banned from every major retail outlet from Walmart to Bath Body and beyond and everybody in between, to all these small ma-and-pa businesses who truly love America and had resources where they could speak out and fight against this globalist agenda. Well, they've been neutralized. Then you attack natural law, you know, saying that your freedom comes from a higher power, God. Now, folks, I don't want to tell you what to believe, although you know here I share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the truth is, folks, that if you do not believe in a higher power, and the fact that higher power gave you your rights, you're going to have to default to the other option, and that is that government gives you your rights. So she talked about these two different narratives of the sovereign individual and the being who's nothing more than a consumer. And that's essentially boiling it down to the supernatural and the natural. So you've got the people that are out there advocating for God and natural law, understanding that this is bigger than just what you see, smell, taste, and touch. And you've got the others who say there's nothing in this world but matter and the motion of matter. Anything else is just a biochemical reaction in your brain. So Catherine did a very good job in those 7 minutes of giving you the big picture of what's going on. Now let's listen to this insider, Pippa Malgram, the economist who was speaking at the World Government Summit last week. And she gave us the truth about what's actually going to happen here. So let's listen to Pippa, if I can find her. Yeah, here it is. This is a minute and 43-second clip from Pippa Malgram at the World Government Summit last week, and I think it was Dubai. And if you could just look at the audience, because they would pan out into the audience, you'd see these people just transfixed, almost like they were mesmerized, nodding their heads in agreement as they were being drawn into this beast system. But listen to Pippa.
What underpins a world order is always the financial system. I was very privileged. My father was an advisor to Nixon when they came off the gold standard in 71, and so I was brought up with a kind of inside view of how very important the financial structure is to absolutely everything else. And what we're seeing in the world today, I think, is we are on the brink of a dramatic change where we are about to, and I'll say this boldly, we're about to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. And the new one, the new accounting, is what we call blockchain. It means digital. It means having a almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy, which will give us far greater clarity over what's going on. It also raises huge dangers in terms of the balance of power between states and citizens. In my opinion, we're going to need a digital constitution of human rights if we're going to have digital money. But also, this new money will be sovereign in nature. Most people think that digital money is crypto and private, but what I see are superpowers introducing digital currency. The Chinese were the first. The U.S. is on the brink, I think, of moving in the same direction. The Europeans have committed to that as well. And the question is, will that new system of digital money and digital accounting accommodate the competing needs of the citizens of all these locations so that every human being has a chance to have a better life? Because that's the only measure.
Really?
Yeah, Elvin, really. She said in her opening statement that the world order is underpinned by the financial structure. But folks, the truth is that if you lose your money, you lose your sovereignty. And if you lose your sovereignty, you lose your freedom. And Ben Franklin said, give up a little bit of your freedom for a little bit of security, and soon you'll have neither. So this isn't conspiracy theory, folks. This is conspiracy fact. Now let me ask a question you're probably all wondering. Well, who is this woman? Who is Pippa? Well, she's a globalist and an elitist. Her dad was Harold Malcolm. He was a senior advisor to many presidents, JFK, Richard Nixon, Lyndon Johnson, and Gerald Ford. This man influenced the economic policy of four administrations. Now, Pippa also advised, like I said, President George W. Bush and prime ministers around the world. And get this, one of her favorite topics over the last 2 years has been the upside of COVID. You know, never let a crisis go to waste. She's just like her good old buddy, the villain, Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum. She sees COVID as an opportunity to transform the world. Folks, this is sick. This is really sick. Now, you can read about her full bio on her webpage, pippamalgram.co.uk. So what's this new money system that Pippa was so enthusiastic about? Well, not only is it digital, folks, but it'll be centralized, and it'll be, quote-unquote, programmable. Now, don't confuse this with Bitcoin or any other crypto. The only similarity it shares is that they both have blockchain technology at the core. So what she mean by programmable money? Well, this means that the central banks will have complete control over your money, our money, and they'll be able to program it so it can only be spent on certain things or in certain places. For example, let's suppose you purchase too many guns. You've exceeded your quota on ammo. Well, they'll just shut you off. Or perhaps you indulged in too much ice cream or frivolous travel, and you've exceeded your CO2 allotment, or you blew through too much gasoline. The government, through this blockchain technology, will be able to shut card off. Your money will be pre-programmed to limit future purchases on what they consider taboo items. Now, I guarantee you that won't include pornography or any other kind of dark, you know, sinful behavior. So what's the bottom line here? Well, once we get this digital programmable money into the system, they'll know where you are, how much you're spending, and will that dictate to you what you're allowed to spend your money on. And it'll all be hinged to your social credit score. Now, how's that work? Well, it's going to be linked to your personal identity, your behavior online, your compliance. This digital ID will mark one of the pillars of the new world order that's going to be essential for absolute and total control. Now, they just haven't told you all this, but that's what's behind it, folks. Now, if you read some of the documents coming out of the World Economic Forum, you'll see this is coming. And I've stated this over and over again here on SDG, that the entire Great Reset hinges on two things. First, the establishment of this digital global currency. And secondly, a digital identity for every man, woman, and child here on Earth. But Milgram, she's warning us about it in a very enthusiastic way. She's not saying, warning, this is dangerous. She's just saying, this is what's happening. And she's excited about it. And that audience, all those influencers out there, are just nodding along in agreement. I'm telling you, folks, this system is right at the door. And I say it marks the beginning of the end, because it's going to get to a point, like the Bible says, where no one will be allowed to buy or sell without the beast, the mark of the beast. So you're going to have to take your digital ID, and you're going to have to become hybridized, so to speak. Can anyone say mark of the beast? Well, I just did, folks, and I believe it'll be possible for a while for you and me to live outside of this system. But I tell you, we need a plan. We need a network. We'll need to live in communities with other like-minded people, and we're going to need plenty of gold and silver. Gold for the big purchase items like tractors and tax payments and building projects, and silver for day-to-day living, you know, gas, bread, a part for your tractor. Yet sadly, the vast majority of the people in this country are walking blindly into this digital trap, power elites. And I tell you, they're going to regret it later, but it's going to be too late. They're going to lose all autonomy over their bodies, and they're going to have to submit to endless booster shots and actually what they literally think. You know, independent critical thinkers like you and me and others in the alt media are going to be banned from the system. Plus, traditional Christians and Jews will be banned. And why? Because no free thought will be permitted. And like Catherine Austin Fitz said in that clip we just played, you cannot point up and say, my rights come from God. No, no. They're going to say, all there is matter and the motion of matter. What are you talking about, a God? We gave you your rights. Now comply or you can't buy and sell. That's where it's going, folks. Now, ironically, no free thought is allowed. Yet these globalists talk about diversity and inclusion. Folks, that's a euphemism for a society based on total information domination. So not only must you follow, but you have to celebrate the lie of the day. Whatever is being promoted by the mainstream corporate media and on social media, you're going to have to do your part. Have you done your part, the virus, by getting jabbed? Do you stand up and fly your blue and yellow flag for Ukraine? Do you believe it's impossible to define a woman as a woman? Do you believe that Biden was a legitimate elected president and that elections are still free and fair in your country? These are just a few of the things that you're going to be forced to comply with if you want to buy and sell and be part of the new world order. So I'm telling you to get ready to resist. Prepare now to live outside the system, because one day you're going to be faced with a choice. And that choice will be grave, folks. You may even be martyred for your faith. So they've told us what's going on. Are you listening? They told us about the food shortages that are coming. They told us about the new digital currency. In fact, Biden just signed an executive order back on March 9th to that effect. They've told us about major cyber attacks that are coming. They're going to target our banking and financial systems, folks, on the pretext of unleashing this new digital currency. More do we need to see, folks? Oh, and by the way, Trump and the midterms and the 2024 presidential election, they're not going to save us. Trump's a globalist, folks. He took money from the Rothschild family for his business bailout. He never drained the swamp. There are many traitors there, and none were arrested. Now, his fans in the MAGA movement, think he's going to get it all fixed. He's going to get her done when he gets back in there. But all he does in these MAGA rallies is pontificate. He blows hot air, folks, and people clap at his rallies, okay? All that politicians do, including Trump, are make things worse. He's the controlled opposition. I'm telling you, folks, he's definitely deep state, and I'm convinced now. Controlled opposition. He's played his part in destroying the system. Think about it. During his administration, there were three false flags: Syria, Vegas, and COVID. And his compliance with the whole COVID narrative allowed the middle class, these non-essential businesses, to be destroyed like Catherine talked about, while allowing the big box corps to make record profits. And then he threw public money, billions and billions of dollars, at Big Pharma for these COVID vaccines through Operation Warp Speed. And then what's he been saying? Get vaccinated. It's good. So do you really think he's on your side, folks? What did his COVID task force advise the state governors to do? To shut down. He gave Fauci a huge platform to spew his lies and misinformation. I'm telling you, folks, Trump's only claim to fame is that he's not Hillary Clinton. But first and foremost, I'm telling you, he's a super rhino, and that's the truth. In fact, next week, let's look into Trump's ties to the KGB and Mossad. So I'm going to write Trump, KGB, and Mossad. It's in my notes for next week's show prep. Well, I'm going to show you the truth about who this man is. But right now, folks, we have to keep moving, and it's time for Coop Talk with Henrietta. Where you at, Henrietta? Where you at? Oh, there you are. Okay, so last week, hey, Henrietta, shut up. Okay, thank you. Sit there and be quiet. You're just my inspiration for our prepping segment. So you stay quiet. Okay, last week, folks, we talked about putting up some long-term food. You know, we covered canned goods and dry goods and how to store them and what to do. And that's going to give us time for planting our victory garden this spring. Now, victory gardens, they go back to World War I. They were popular in the United States, the UK, Canada, and Australia. And then again, they became popular when World War II broke out. Now, these gardens were used along with the ration cards that the average citizen had to use. And they helped prevent starvation and food shortages, freeing up a lot of the commercial crops to go to feed the soldiers. So planting a victory garden also boosted morale, and it gave a way for folks at home to do their part in the war effort. Well, it's time to plant your victory garden, folks. Now, these can be called war gardens, victory gardens, but they're food gardens for our defense. And they can be grown virtually anywhere, in private gardens, on public lands, parks, playgrounds, even churchyards. If you don't have any of that, you can grow it on your patio or in a window box. And think about it, folks, with the price of food going up weekly. You know, I went to get some cream cheese. The week before at Aldi's, it was 85 cents a pack for the 8-ounce pack. This week, it was $1.39. In 1 week, it went up over 60%. And Terry likes the little canned mushrooms in those little mini cans. She likes to snack on those, and she puts them on pizza and what have you. They used to be 59 cents a can. They went up to 85 cents a can in 1 week. 1 week, folks. That's nearly a 50% increase. So these victory gardens are going to become very important. I mean, think about it. Biden even warned in one of his recent talks about food shortages coming to all. Listen to this.
Nothing more to report. With regard to food shortage, yes, we did talk about food shortages. And it's going to be real. The price of these sanctions is not just imposed upon Russia. It's imposed upon an awful lot of countries as well, including European countries and our country as well.
So I'm telling you, folks, these victory gardens are going to become very important in a number of ways. They're going to help us stretch our food budget, provide healthy exercise while you're working it. They're going to give you safe, clean food with no toxic pesticides. And, you know, I'm not a tree hugger, but I don't want to destroy the environment either. They're actually going to help the environment. Instead of dumping your, your food scraps into the garbage for a landfill, you're going to actually compost or give them to your chickens and then use the chicken manure. So this is a way to become self-sufficient. And you may even have enough produce over to share and donate to others. So if you're wondering what you should plant in a victory garden and how to design it, just keep on listening because I'm going to share a little bit of that. Now, don't worry too much about the design. Just find a patch with some sunlight and some good soil. It can even be a raised garden. And prepare the soil. Now's a good time to do it. In fact, you could start getting in some of your early spring crops like lettuce and onions and cabbage, that sort of stuff, radishes, carrots. Or maybe you want to start your own community victory garden. Now, if you're new to gardening, it's best to start small and then expand it as you gain more experience. You may want to join a local gardening group or grab a couple of books at your local library. And a lot of the state agricultural groups or departments have these cooperative extensions at your county level. I have one right up here in Armstrong County. You can go in there and they have pamphlets, brochures. They'll even help you plant it. So you need to get going with planting and watering and fertilizer. And you're going to have to deal with some problems that come along like pests and disease and all that. A lot of it's local to your area. Now, you want to find soil that's not soggy, of course, so it has to be well-drained and it should have some good compost that's been adequately composted in it. You want to lime the soil, get your soil tested, but the local extension county level can help you with all that. But the bottom line is you have to know your growing zone to determine what you can grow. And like I said, before you plant, make sure you have some composted, well-rotted manure and table scraps and decomposed leaves and grass clippings all properly composted in there. So what can you grow in a garden? Well, there's all sorts of things. Beets, beans, cabbage, kohlrabi, peas, kale, turnips, lettuce, spinach. Spinach is a good one. Garlic, Swiss chard, parsnips, carrots, onions, herbs. Don't forget the herbs, folks. You're going to need that to season your food. So you can also grow strawberries, raspberries, blueberries. And if you don't mind waiting, you ought to plant some fruit trees. Now, they take about 3 or 4 years to come into production, but now's the time to start because this isn't going to be over easy, folks. And next week, I want to talk to you about how we get together as groups of like-minded people to share what we've grown. And that's how community is going to come into this, and that's why you're going to need some gold and silver for trading. But right now, folks, it's time to move on to the Hopium Report. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium. Now, did you hear about this clip that's been running the circuit in alt media from a new rep from North Carolina named Madison Cawthorn? He's the guy, the young guy in the wheelchair. And he was on a podcast where he told the host that he was invited to orgies by top politicians who were doing coke while blackmail scenarios were being gathered on all of these attendees. So he said it's just like the series House of Cards. That's what it's like in Washington, D.C. He said these are people that he's admired for his whole life that are now in their 60s and 70s, inviting him to an orgy at their home and doing cocaine in front of them. Now, I want to play that clip for you. It'll blow your mind. It's a minute and 44 seconds long, so let's listen.
Here with House
of
Cards.
About to get serious.
Yes, I am. With Kevin Spacey, and I forget who else was in it. But anyway.
Really well done show.
Very well done show.
Very well done show.
But it was so dirty, and it was about this congressman who was Kevin Spacey, who was, I think it was minority or majority whip.
Yep.
What was it? Yeah. And so, anyway, very, very powerful guy. And it was just kind of like his secret life of all this corruption and power and money and perversion, and it was just dirty. How much, in your opinion, because you've been behind the veil, is this a fictitious show Or is this more closer to like a documentary? Is it that bad?
So I heard a former president that we had in the 90s was asked the question about this. And he gave an answer that I thought was so true. And he said, the only thing that's not accurate in that show is that you could never get a piece of legislation about education passed that quickly.
And everything else is good?
Aside from that, I mean, the sexual perversion that goes on in Washington, I mean, being kind of a young guy in Washington, remember the average age is probably 60 or 70, and I look at all these people, a lot of them that I've looked up to through my life, always paid attention to politics, guys that, then all of a sudden you get invited to, like, well, hey, we're going to have kind of a sexual get-together at one of our homes. You should come. And I'm like, what did you just ask me to come to?
Yeah.
And then you realize they're asking you to come to an orgy.
Yeah.
Or the fact that, there's some of the people that are leading on the movement to try and remove, addiction in our country. And then you watch them do, a key bump of cocaine right in front of you. And it's like, wow, this is wild.
So there you have it, right out of the mouth of a new representative, Madison. I just lost his name here, Madison Cawthorn. Now, it's really strange, folks. But after revealing this on that podcast, where he said that he saw prominent politicians doing bumps of cocaine in front of him, he reversed midstream after Republican House Leader McCarthy talked to him. So something's changed, because now he says he exaggerated that. You can listen to his full interview out on YouTube, but like I said, he's backtracking. And the question is, why? Now, I put this in the Hopium report because I had hoped that perhaps good old Madison was going to blow the lid off of this. But for some reason, he was quenched. And like I said, the question is why. Now, we have to keep moving because now we've got to get into the Absurdian report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Sorry, I had my mic off. Folks, did you hear this report out this week? The scammer from Ukraine, Vladimir Zelensky, claims that the way Europe can stop Russia and the invasion is if they go green. That's right, Paul. The reason Russia is succeeding and the way that Europe can stop them is if they go green. He told the assembly, I think it was in Norway, but don't quote me on where this was actually given. He spoke to them and said that Russia's aggressions towards his people, including the claims that they rape women and children, and the 2,000 children who have been deported to Russia, and all of this, all of these horrors facing his people in the hands of the Russian troops are because of climate change. So, Paul, the bottom line is he's a huckster. He literally is. He's out there appealing to all of these parliaments across the Western world, speaking their language, speaking their famous phrases. He's basically just rehashing things and packaging them. Well, folks, he didn't write these speeches. They're being written for him by propagandists. He's an actor. Remember that. And he's playing his part. But in this particular one, I believe it was in Norway, he says that the way to stop Russia is to go green. So I'd like to play that clip for you and let you hear it with your own ears. It's a 16-second clip. Listen to him claiming that to stop Russia, we must go green.
Ще задовго до цієї війни було очевидним, що людство має скорочувати використання викопного палива.
Just kidding, folks. He was speaking of course, in his native tongue, the Nazi actor himself was a bought and paid for scammer. But I'll tell you what he's saying. He's speaking about this war, and he's talking about all the suffering in the country, and then literally, mid-sentence, he turns on a dime and he says, long before the war, it was clear that humanity should reduce the use of fossil fuels. So I'm telling you, folks, he's talking about children and suffering and bombings, and then he goes on to say, it's clear that humanity should reduce the use of fossil fuels. The era of coal and oil has caused huge damage to the environment, to our planet as a whole. Green technologies and green energy have become a logical and just answer to this challenge. Did you hear that, folks? Thinking about how this reversed in mid-sentence, you might think that the war is in the past tense. Folks, I'm starting to think that the reason he did that is that the deep state, the globalists, are ready to shift the narrative once again. First, it was the scamdemic. Then it was the war in Ukraine. And now I think we're going to see a big change to climate and green and alternative energies. And they need Zelensky, while he's in the spotlight, to lay the path for the green pitch before he's no longer the center of the world's attention. You know, everybody's listening to him right now. And it's really strange that he turned on a dime, switching from the claims that Russia's raping women and deporting children to Russia. Mid-sentence, folks, he calls for green energy as the way that the EU and the Western countries can defeat Russia. You know, you just can't make this stuff up. You really can't. And how about another word? I said that wrong. How about another word, salad, from the heels in the air slut herself? And I'm sorry I used that word, but that's what she is. The woman who's literally one heartbeat away from being president of the United States. Here she is on another one of these talk shows, and she's asked about the high gas prices. And it's just crazy, but listen to her. She's asked about high gas prices, and this is the answer she gives the host. It's appalling, folks.
You know, you spoke a little bit about transportation. People across the country right now are in a crunch due to these extremely high gas prices. What's the solution? How do we get closer to a solution? Because literally, our state across the country and all of us, we've been doing our best to do jobs now because people can't get from point A to point B when they're on these big income. How do we get to a solution for that?
Well, first of all, we've been, the only thing we can do is a real election. What we have done is we've actually released some of the reserves, the petroleum reserves.
I'm sorry about that, folks. That audio was corrupted on upload. Perhaps next week I can get it. Well, basically, she was asked by the host about the soaring gas prices, and she answered with a word salad. She said nothing. Now, it's absurd, and that's why it's in the absurdity in the report. And you can hear this in just about any time this slut, and that's what she is, she slept her way. You know, she didn't even stay in the primaries because she couldn't get any public support. And the reason I think she's vice president is because she's the only one that would go along with the scam. I really believe that. Well, compare her speaking and the speech of most politics, you know, politicians, to the speeches of the great statesmen, the founding fathers, people like John Adams, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. Compare the way they spoke. And look at their actions, folks. They would go to Washington, serve their time, and then retire back to their farm and finish out their life as a private citizen. They didn't become spokesmen for some big lobbyist firm. They didn't become a leader in the global economic forum. They didn't chum it up with Klaus Schwab and promote some go green agenda. No, they went back to their farms and they worked the land. That's what George Washington did. That's what John Adams did. That's what Thomas Jefferson did. And that's because they were statesmen. But today we don't have statesmen. We have politics that make careers out of this. And I'm telling you, folks, Kamala Harris is literally one heartbeat away from becoming president of the United States. And then look who's behind her, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, who's drunk on vodka almost every day. The bottom line is that gas prices are at record highs because of Joe Biden's war on American energy and production and all the crazy sanctions that have been leveled against Russia. Did you hear what Russia's doing as of yesterday? You want gas? You want oil? You have to pay in ruples, Bitcoin, or gold. You know, folks, sanctions have consequences, and it looks like these sanctions leveled upon Russia by the Western nations are actually going to backfire. It's like throwing a boomerang and getting hit in the head with it. It's just a plan to destabilize Western economies and Western culture and prep the masses for the Great Reset. But, folks, we have to keep moving, and right now it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
Now, folks, over the years, I've watched our culture literally decay before my eyes. I've seen so much in terms of promiscuity and in pornography and debauchery and hooking up affairs. Think about all the ads now. People don't really understand relationship. People don't understand commitment. They don't understand the bond and union of marriage between one man and one woman. There's this gender confusion now. We've got the new push for liking pedophiles and understanding that they're actually the victim, not the children that have been abused and murdered. No, it's the pedophile who's the victim. We'll see this latest from the Academy Awards last week. So there was this one point in there where they had a troll, and what they did is they got out there, started to bash Governor DeSantis and the legislation that was passed by Florida to protect young children from being groomed, and that's what it is. So what I'd like to do is call up that clip and just let you hear it. It was, Wanda Sykes, Amy Schumer, and Regina Hall, who were the co-hosts at the Oscars. And they used this opportunity for some what I'll call unfunny political theater. So just listen to this. It's short. It's 22 seconds.
We're going to have a great night tonight. And for you people in Florida, we're going to have a gay night. Gay, gay, gay.
So what's going on here, to give you a little background if you don't know about it, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis recently signed this anti-grooming parental rights in education bill, which bans certain instruction to young children about sexual orientation and gender identity in classrooms. And this was the establishment's response to a very good and godly bill that was passed by the politicians in Florida. They misbranded "Don't Say Gay" bill. And these three talking parrots for the leftist Luciferians, they get up there on their bully pulpit, bring in awards show, and that's why I hate those things. They've politicized them, and they're not even entertaining. And they say, we're going to have a great night tonight. And for you, we're going to have a great night. So then they start chanting what you just heard. And the room full of sick Hollywood leftists, what did they do? Heard them at the end, just clapped and cheered for this perversion. And here's what's going on. They're pushing, along with Disney, to have children as young as 4 years old exposed to gender identity and sexual orientation training. Well, these sickos want to force little children to learn about gay sex and gender identity. And did you hear that there was a clip that was released from an inside meeting at Disney where they admitted they're grooming young children? They're putting it into their Disney content. Folks, the bottom line is that you should boycott Disney. stop supporting Disney, to stream their service, get rid of it. Oh, and by the way, did you know that ABC that hosted the Oscars and where the little rant by these three co-hosts was left is owned by Disney? You know, there's been a lot of books written about how the early movie industry manipulated the public's perception about actors, making them the center of attention. You know, back in the day, only classic and some of those sorts of narratives, they were treated with respect, but not everyone else. So the establishment had to create this love for the actor. And then they coined the phrase star, and they started calling them stars. They even paid newspapers to write articles about them. They paid important people in the public eye to invite them to social events. And they paid people to fuss over them and swoon over them in the public. How pathetic it is. The American public fell for this brainwashing, folks. These are degenerates. You know, how many of them are pedophiles? How many of them promote these anti-family, anti-God agendas? And yet we the people, look at them as stars, you know? That's a demonstration of extreme gullibility. And, you know, folks, that's why I call people sheep or sheeple. They're stupid, stubborn, and selfish. And what we have is that the grace of God opens our eyes and gives us a new mind, which is the wisdom and power of God. You know, I've seen people gush over some of the most awful movies out there, repeat whatever the reviewers say, and they push whatever movie they're pushing their latest agenda on. And it always has something that's very liberal and perverse, and it pushes an agenda, folks. It's called predictive programming. You know, I'm telling you, there's really no line between the libertarian, or I should say the communist movie industry, liberal politics, and the lying media. It's all together. And there's this public adoring it, this group of perverts. Infamous for their drug addiction and alcoholism and narcissism and their irrational behavior. Look at what the cuck Will Smith did last week. We went up there and slapped Chris Rock. You know, that's a criminal offense in the state of California, yet there were no charges filed. Give me a break, folks, and then get this lashing out now against Governor DeSantis for signing the anti-grooming bill, and they vowed to fight it in court. The pedo-infested Disney that lashed out at Governor Florence for Governor DeSantis for passing this legislation. Like I said, they own ABC, where the Oscars were. Now, DeSantis pushed right back, and he says, I don't care what Disney says. This is about our children. And this gives the parents rights to sue school districts that violate the state law. And I'm telling you, the one thing we vote with, folks, is our pocketbooks. If you have a vacation planned to Disney, change it. Go to MGM Studios or go to Busch Gardens down there. They have the Dark Country down there, and it's a very good day. Terry and I have done it. Don't go to Disney. Disney supports groomers and pedophiles, and they want to overturn the will of the people. I'm telling you, the people respond. If the people respond to Disney, pedophile-driven politics, we could destroy Disney. All that we have to do is stand up together and say no. So I'm encouraging you, people, don't go to Disney. Stop your streaming service. Don't support it. Don't watch ABC. Now, did you know that economic fascism that we see today is just like it was in Germany in World War II? It's the same thing. So what I mean by that is whether a business failed or prospered in the Third Reich under Hitler depended upon its political pull, how close the industrialists, you know, cozied up to the Nazi leadership. And today, don't we see corporations doing that? Aren't the corporations doing the bidding of the globalists? I'm telling you, folks, this is the new world order. It's the Fourth Reich. It's no different. It's no different, folks, than what Hitler was trying to push. Yet if you speak out about this, you get deplatformed, you get turned off. But I can see both the Luciferian long game and the end game, as I'll call it. Now, by the long game, I mean they're grooming people, calling the people that can freely think. They're getting us ostracized. They're deplatforming us. They're doing whatever they can. Gons today on Canary Call, he just tweeted that he can't break 10,000 with his number of followers. And after I had that viral coronavirus rap video on Twitter that got 27,000 views on Twitter, and I started seeing my followers just gain by leaps and bounds, I posted one thing concerning the election, a fact that there were more ballots cast in Wisconsin than there were registered voters by a number that would have switched the results in that swing state. I got deplatformed. And they told me if I don't take that post down, I can't use Twitter anymore. And then when I came back up after taking the post down, all my followers were gone. I've got 130 followers now, folks, after a viral video with 27,000 views. And, you know, I was over 1,000 followers at one time. And my goal was to get past 10,000 too. But it didn't happen because I won't cozy up to the globalists. That's what I mean by the long game. Now, the end game, of course, is the Great Reset, the mark of the beast, where you'll own nothing and be happy. So with all that said, let me answer a question that I've heard a lot of people ask. Well, how are they doing this? Well, we heard Professor Yuval Noah Harari bash the Ten Commandments in the Bible last week. And what I'd like to do is replay that clip right now so you can hear this godless man set the narrative for where they're going with all this. Let's just re-listen to what he said.
What is good and what is evil? What is a pious action and what is a sin? So in previous eras, again, you went to God, or you went to the Pope, or you went to the Bible. Let's say with the case of homosexuality. So in the Middle Ages, the Catholic Church came and said homosexuality is a sin. Why? Because God said so. Because the Bible said so. Because the Pope said so. And this was the source of ethical authority. Nobody cared much what people actually felt about it. Now in the era of humanist ethics, the saying is we don't care very much what God says or what the Bible says or what the Pope says. We want to know how people actually feel. If two men are in love and they both feel very happy with that and they don't harm anybody, so what could possibly be wrong with it? It's very simple. The highest authority in the field of ethics is the authority of human feelings. If humans feel good about something and nobody feels bad about it, then it's good. Of course, there are some difficult questions also in humanist ethics. What happens if I feel good about something, let's say an extramarital affair, but my husband feels very bad about it? So whose feelings count for more? Then you have a dilemma, an ethical dilemma. You have a discussion. But the key point is that the discussion will be conducted in terms of human feelings, not in terms of divine commandments.
So what's the core here? What's the message? Well, he's telling us that human feelings is the highest moral authority. And that's plain wrong, folks. Human feelings are the shallowest part of our beings, and it can be led around by the change in the weather or the condition of your stomach. Are you hungry or not? So you don't want to trust your feelings. You want to be led by the Spirit. You know, the Bible says that man is deceitfully wicked. And who shall know it? None but the Lord thy God. So you've got Yuval Noah Harari out there pushing this propaganda for the lying mainstream media. And it all ties into this don't say gay bill, you know? And what's wrong? Two men who want to get married. Well, what's wrong about it is that God said it was wrong. It flies in the face of divine authority. So, folks, what's going on now, right now, is what's known as grooming. And that's exactly what Governor DeSantis and the Florida legislature were trying to prevent. Now, here's a specific example of grooming and what Governor DeSantis was trying to prevent. This public school indoctrination is real. This fourth grade teacher in Austin, Texas, told her peers that 63% of her class came out as LGBTQIA+. And boy, that alphabet soup just continues to grow, doesn't it? The bottom line is that the goal of the cultural Marxists behind this LGBTQIA+ supremacy push is to indoctrinate the vulnerable children into embracing this destructive anti-biblical lifestyle and to believe that the feelings they have are the highest authority. Remember, we talked about how TikTok uses artificial intelligence, machine learning, to see what your feelings are, to understand what your feelings are, and then to leverage that, to reinforce that feeling, that false authority, to get you to do bad things. And why? Because they've got to get them when they're young before they start forming their own ideas. You see, these prepubescent children are the easiest people to convert into falsely believing whatever it is you want them to know. You know, Lenin said, give me your five-year-olds in a generation, I'll have your country. And the reason is obvious, because these children are easily influenced. Think about it for a minute, folks. They don't have hormones or life experiences or common sense to tell them otherwise. So they basically believe whatever they're told. And that's why these radical progressives are so adamant about teaching 5 to 8-year-olds about adult sexual topics. They want to groom them. They want them to get them into it. In fact, we saw that with those hideous drag queen story hours. And there was even one admitting that that's why he does it. That's why this fourth grade teacher in Austin is not only angry about gay pride not being pushed enough, and that's why she also claimed that 20 out of her 32 students came out as LGBTQIA+. Now, the libs on TikTok, listen to this one thing. These are internal messages from a fourth grade elementary teacher in Austin. She's upset that an entire week dedicated to the LGBT still wasn't good enough. Coincidentally, 20 out of 32 of her fourth graders are LGBT and have come out. Fourth graders, come on, really? Seriously, folks? I'm telling you, these lifestyle decisions cannot be made by young children like that. So I oppose all sin, I do, including lifestyle sins like this agenda. But honestly, adults have the free will and choice to make those, and I will not oppose that. But when they start targeting impressionable young children who do not have the wherewithal to make these decisions, I stand opposed. What they're doing to children is plain wrong. It's pure evil, folks. It's taking advantage of those most vulnerable, and we, the people, need to stand up. And I'm seeing more and more of it every day. This transgenderism, it's dangerous. It's really dangerous. You know, if we don't stand up, we're going to see this behavior quench the Holy Spirit in the masses of the people to the point where the restrained influence of the Holy Spirit will no longer be present. And at that point, look out. Because it's fair game for any debauchery. It's fair game for any perversion. And you are not going to recognize this world. But right now, folks, it's time for Back to the Future. Where we take something from the past and bring it back to the future. So what I'd like to do is talk again, and I'm going to continue to push this, but I want to talk about the New World Order. Where did the New World Order start? Well, it started back in the Garden of Eden, actually outside of the Garden of Eden, where Cain slew Abel and was cast out to wander the earth. And he established cities, and he established culture, and he established manufacturing, and so much other, and he learned it from the fallen angels, folks. And you could read the to Canaan. And you can see how this has just transcended over time. And then again in Genesis 11, where we read the story of the Tower of Babel, goes on through the ancient civilizations. You know, you saw it with Greece and Rome and Alexander the Great and Egypt, even Israel for a while there, pushing for this great civilization. And then as you continue to move through culture, you have Adam Weisskopf, and what he pushed for was the Illuminati. And then you had Napoleon. He tried to do it. And then, of course, the infamous Hitler. So how do you apply all of this, this quest by humanity to unite humanity under a new world order? How do you tie this into what's going on right now? Well, you know, we started with these lockdowns and the scamdemic and all the mandates and the people uprising. Remember the truckers we talked about at the opening of the show, the Canadian truckers and what Trudeau did? And now we've got soaring inflations and wars and rumors of wars. It seems like the globalists have something even bigger that they're ready to hit us with, a cyber attack, a currency collapse. Could be all of them. I'm telling you, it's going to be bigger than the global scamdemic and this war in Ukraine. It's going to be bigger. And then what did we have? The White House come out, and they gave us a clue on March 21st at a presser where a statement by Biden on national cybersecurity, and he said we're going to have cyber attacks. Well, they could be false flags, folks. And I think it might be used to usher in their new digital currency. But the bottom line is there's this reoccurring theme of the new world order. We heard Senator Biden back in the 90s speak of it. And I've played this clip, but I want to play it again right now. Listen to Senator Biden.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order, because the global order is changing again. And the institutions and the rules that worked so well in the post-World War II era for decades, they need to be strengthened, and some have to be changed. So we have to do what we do best. We have to lead. We have to lead. We have to update the global rules of the road. We have to do it in a way that maximizes benefits for everyone, because obviously it's overwhelmingly in our interest. This is not a zero-sum game. It's overwhelmingly in our interest that...
There's enough of that. I couldn't stand it. And then just recently, a week or so ago, in one of his pressers, the imposter-in-chief brought... Biden. I say that tongue-in-cheek because he was appointed, he wasn't elected. Listen to him reference the New World Order.
You know, we are at an inflection point, I believe, in the world economy. Not just the world economy, in the world. It occurs every three or four generations. As one of the top military people said to me in a secure meeting the other day, 60 million people died between 1900 and 1946. And since then, we established a liberal world order, and that hadn't happened in a long while. A lot of people died, but nowhere near the chaos. And now is a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it. We've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it. So anyway... There's going to be a new world order out there. There's going to be a new world order out there. There's going to be a new world order out there.
Now, Biden told the crowd, and this was a meeting at the Business Roundtable's quarterly meeting. This was on March 21st. He told the CEOs present that there's going to be a new world order out there. You heard it. I replayed it three times at the end there. And we've got to lead it. And we've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it. Now, as soon as this term new world order came out, all the fact checkers kicked into gear, and they started with things like reference to the New World Order have spread on social media amid the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and the term gained significant traction after it was used by President Joe Biden in a speech this past March. So they go on and they talk about how hashtag New World Order was the trending meme on Twitter, and a flurry of posts suggested his usage confirms the existence of a decades-old conspiracy. Folks, it's not decades old. It goes back to the dawn of man. It's a global truth, not a global conspiracy theory. It's a global conspiracy fact. That's what man has always wanted to do. So they go on and on, and they tell us how, oh, this is nothing to worry about. Just go back to sleep. They just go on to say things like, here's another one of their quotes in fact-checking. The flurry of references ignores the longstanding historical meaning of this phrase, however giving a misleading impression to Biden's remarks. Biden did mention a new world order, but he was describing international changes from the Russia-Ukraine conflict, not confirming a world domination conspiracy theory. Historians say politicians have used the terms in speeches for decades. Well, they have. I just played Biden using that term back in the 90s. George Bush 1 used it. You know, the 1,000 points of light speech. Folks, there's even a Ukrainian parliamentary member, Kira Rudik, that used it. Remember this?
Right now, it's a critical time because we know that we not only fight for Ukraine, we fight for this new world order for the democratic countries. We knew that we are the shield for the euro. We fight for this new world order. We fight for this new world order.
And then we have Eva Malgram. Just tell us. Just listen to the beginning of that clip again.
What underpins a world order is always the financial system. I was very privileged. My father.
Let's hear that again.
What underpins a world order is always the financial system.
So, folks, these fact checkers who are poo-pooing the New World Order are lying through their teeth. They are on the precipice of unleashing this new digital currency that we've covered in this show. They're on the precipice of suppressing all of your sovereignty and your God-given rights, as we saw that freak from the World Economic Forum, Noah Yuval Harari, the Bible and the Ten Commandments, and tell you that human feelings are the foundation for all ethical and moral justification. What a crock of crap, folks. And they're telling the people that anybody that's out there that's telling you that the new world order is coming are just plain crazy. But I am telling you, folks, that this is a lie, because they know that they're being outed. They know that their time is short, and they know that they must move now. But we the people have to stand up, folks. You need to stand up and say no. Say no to this new world order. That's all you have to do, folks. Say no to the new world order. You, me, the millions and billions of people across this globe that love God and want to be free just need to stand up and say no. No to Disney. No to the big box stores. Buy local, folks. Use your money in wise ways. Get gold and silver now. Get out of their digital currency system that's coming. Take your greenbacks while you can still do things with them. They're losing value daily, but they still have value. And buy tangible assets. If you have a country home where you have a well, buy an extra well pump. If you have a tractor, buy tractor parts. If you have a furnace that's old, buy a spare furnace if you have a place to put it and store it up. Same thing with all your other devices like hot water tanks and whatever else you need. Take those greenbacks and buy tangible assets right now. Buy gold and silver. Get farming equipment. Do whatever you need to prepare. I'm telling you, folks, this is coming, and it's coming like a storm, and we need to be ready. Now, folks, I opened this show telling you that we could take a lesson from Jacob, and we can learn three biblical truths that I'd like to share with you now. First and foremost, that God will protect us, but I'm telling you, he's not going to pamper you and me. And he may even hurt us or allow us to be hurt, but he doesn't want to harm us. And if he has to, he'll break you, but he actually wants to bless you. So let's see what we can learn from Jacob. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21, that by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his... Now, did you know that Jacob, he was actually crippled so he might be crowned, and he became Israel. And he was broken that he might be blessed, folks. And we're going to see in this story these three things I just mentioned. So God uses whatever he has to. He uses the tools of these wicked people to break you if he has to. But he doesn't want to do that. He wants to bless you. He'll allow you to be hurt, but he doesn't want you to be harmed. And I'm telling you, he's going to protect you, but he won't pamper you. That's what you see in the life of Jacob. You know, God loves you, and God loves me. And there's a valuable lesson here on how we can forsake all and trust him, which, by the way, is the only way we're going to be able to exercise that incredible gift of the saving faith of Jesus Christ. Now, when you read the story of Jacob over in Genesis, you see that he wrestled all night long with the angel of the Lord. And that was actually a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. And the theologians, they have a term for that. They call that the theophany. And just before morning, the angel of the Lord, he cripples Jacob's thigh. And the Lord said, "Let me go." But you know, in reality, God didn't want Jacob to let him go. Now, God often works that way, you know. He acts as if he's going to go away or he doesn't want to be involved with you in your life, when all along his plan is to have relationship with you and me. It's kind of a reverse psychology thing almost. You remember on the road to Emmaus, the resurrected Lord Jesus was walking alongside those two disciples, and boy, I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have had my phone recording the conversation. Could you imagine that? Walking with the resurrected Lord Jesus with a heart burning for the Lord and not even realizing that it was Jesus. You know, Jesus made as if he'd go no further with them. And then they asked him to stay the night and break bread with them. And what did he do? He did exactly that. And how about that Syrophoenician possessed child? She asked Jesus to do something for her daughter, to heal and deliver her daughter. And what did he say to her? He said, "Woman, I will not take the bread intended for the children and throw it to the dogs." So Jesus does these sorts of things to make our hearts yearn and desire for him. It's, you know, like a little bit like playing hard to get. You know what I mean? So Jesus acts like he wants to be alone or do the opposite, when in reality he wants to pursue you. He wants you to pursue him, and he wants you to love him with all your heart. Remember the story. Let's go back to the story of Jacob for a minute. And he was returning to his homeland after he left Laban, his father-in-law, where he had lived for, what was it, 20 years or something. And he was at the end, you know. He got word that his brother was coming with 400 men, I believe it was. And he was out of options. And he's about ready to play his trump card. All else had failed, split his group into two, and he sent gifts ahead. And he figured he'd go with the group that his brother didn't attack in the event that his brother did attack, you know. So God brought Jacob to this place where he realized that his only hope was in the Lord. So Jacob, after a lifetime of scheming, I mean, he schemed with his mother to get the birthright. He schemed against his father-in-law Laban to get Rachel as his bride when he was doing the crossbreeding with the sheep. He was a schemer. But at this point, he surrendered all, because he knew his bargaining and his scheming and his begging wouldn't suffice. He realized that there was nothing he could trust or depend upon except God. And he came to realize that although God didn't pamper, he would allow him to be hurt if it had to come to that, but never be harmed. It was only when you deserve to be hurt would God allow you to be hurt. Think about it, folks. Did your dad ever spank you? You know, my dad used to discomfort my bottom quite often with a belt, but I tell you, he never harmed me. And once a doctor had to cut my eye open to repair my lens, but he didn't harm me. It hurt, but it didn't harm me. And in the same sense, God will allow you to be hurt or even hurt you, because he desires you to be conformed to the image of his son. So it's kind of like being molded. It's kind of like being put into the refiner's fire so that the dross comes off. See, the Bible says, "Whom the Lord loves, he chastens," but he's not going to harm you, folks. So believe me when I say you can forsake all and trust him. You truly can. The Bible says, "No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grieveth. And afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that exercise thereby." And here's the last thing I just want to drive the point home with. If need be, I'm telling you, folks, go break. But the purpose is to bless you. The Bible says in Genesis 32, verse 27, "And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. This name Jacob, folks, it literally means con artist or schemer. But what happened to Jacob? He was transformed and he became who? Israel. And today, this name Jacob is actually honorable. People name their children Jacob. The Bible says in Genesis 32, verse 28, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. So this word Israel literally means prince, and it's become synonymous with Jacob. Then Jacob asked him his name, and in Genesis 32, verse 29 through 31, God said, I tell thee, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face. This is where he, you know, battled all night with the angel of the Lord who struck his hip and made him go lame. He said, for I've seen the face of God face to face, and my life is preserved. As he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. So he named this place Peniel because he had seen God face to face. And this is the proof that Jacob literally wrestled with God. And why Jacob had that limp, not because he was old, but because God had to hurt him so he could bless him. And that's what he did. He literally broke Jacob. Now, if you're resisting these things that I'm sharing with you, God may break you so that he can bless you, but I hope he doesn't have to do that. So this dude was no longer Jacob. He became Israel, and now he's a prince. And when the Lord asked him, what's your name? Don't you think God already knew it? God just wanted Jacob to admit it. He wanted Jacob to confess that he was a con artist. And God will do the same to you and me. So what's your name? Is it lustful, lazy, doubtful, liar, selfish, or whatever it may be? What is your name? You see the point I'm trying to make here, folks? What's standing between you and a relationship with God? So Jacob literally had to be crippled so that he might be crowned, and broken so that he might be blessed. And then the rest of his life, he had to walk on a staff, leaning upon that staff as a reminder. And then even when he dies, that's what that scripture we opened with says in Hebrews 11, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the son of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. So the bottom line here, folks, is that we need to learn to lean upon the Lord and to trust in Jesus Christ. And we have to do that with everything, all of our thoughts, all of our words, all of our actions. We need to learn how to forsake all and trust him. And that's living in the saving faith of Jesus Christ. So Jacob was broken so that he could be blessed. And do you know that God actually likes broken things? He uses things that are broken, things that other people would throw away, things like you and me, to do mighty things. Now, did you know that God had to break me? That's what I say when I sign my name, Bro Ken, broken and made whole in Jesus Christ. That's why I do the show, SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. God had to literally destroy my businesses so that he might use me. Now, does this concept of being broken by God sound scary? Well, yeah, it's scary, and it should be. Are you thinking, well, I don't want to be broken by God? Then I'm telling you, folks, break yourself. Jeremiah wrote, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. The Bible also says, if we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged. And folks, I'm running out of time here, but I want to wrap this up. So what that means is that we must repent and then come to the Lord in absolute humility and brokenness, and cease from being self-sufficient, cease from striving, cease from our own conniving like Jacob, and our own planning. Stop trying and start trusting and stand upon the Word of God, and then God can move in and use us in ways that we could never have imagined, folks. Just know that your failures don't have to be final. As long as you have the breath of life in you, known as the eternal life of Jesus Christ. So my message to you, folks, is to repent and trust, and then trust and obey. And remember, if you're wise, you'll save yourself from the wrestling match with God, like Jacob and I had to go through, and you won't be broken then. All you got to do is judge yourself, and then you won't be judged. So if you're suffering in life right now, let your experiences teach you and lean on the Lord. Because when it's all said and done, it's your worship by the exercise of saving faith that truly pleases God. And that's all that really matters. So stand up today, folks, and boldly declare, forsaking all, I trust him. And that him is none other than Jesus. And then through the midst of all this craziness that we're covering on these shows, you'll be able to do what Winston Churchill says and never give in, never give in, no, never give in.
Never give in, never give in, never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember, folks, that same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, lives in you and me, and we can do all things through him. So let's lift our hands up with Jeremy Camp and praise the Lord.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. Cry out for change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus. Oh,